This is the Board GAC Joint Working Group on the Role of the GAC. And as you know, we have met a few times, and this may be the last time that we meet, as I hope we will be able to finalize the report today or at this meeting. What you have in front of you is a slightly revised draft working group report, and we have discussed the content to a considerable degree. So I'm expecting that we can focus on the key revisions that are here, and please avoid, because this is a report, negotiating text. That's not the aim of the report. However, we are wanting to communicate to the board and to the community what the joint working group's views are on the issues reflected here. At the same time, we know that under the affirmation of commitments that ICANN needs to take action on the recommendations that have been put forward by the ATRT. And so the revised version that you have is trying to integrate and reflect where a recommendation addresses the same topic as what is in the Joint Working Group report. So if we are able to finalize this report and if we are able to emphasize what I believe the GAC has already agreed to, that we support the recommendations, you will recall we've had discussions before as a GAC, certainly, to reflect the importance that we place on the recommendations. And so we would want that to take place as quickly as possible. And as I say, the affirmation is asking ICANN, is asking the board to take action by June, and here we are. So my co-chair, Ray Polzak, is here, and I can see some board directors, I think, around the table, I hope. I saw a few come in this morning.
Could I ask the board members to raise their hands or stand up, please, so everybody knows where you are? We have several board members here who are members of the working group, plus there are also maybe one or two here that are present as observers. I would like to, at this point in time, also please advise the board members that this is a final review of this document, and so I would appreciate if board members would curtail their comments to specific issues and not try to introduce anything new or to enlighten us with their knowledge.
Thank you. I think a perspective from our colleagues on the board would be quite welcome, particularly where we are discussing interaction and those details between the board and the GAC. Okay, so let's begin with the first section, and you can see that regarding GAC advice to the board, this does actually relate to the recommendations from the review team, 9, 10, and 11. We've discussed the nature of GAC advice to some degree. However, there is an edit proposed here that the bylaws require the board to take due account of GAC advice, but do not provide a detailed definition of what constitutes GAC advice, place any limitation on what form such advice should take, or require that it be consensual. So it's embellishing the discussions that we had before, and I think adding some clarification regarding what the bylaws actually say. Okay. Shall I walk us through the revisions in the first section, and then we can see what the general sense is? Okay. So if we continue through the document, regarding questions that we've received around the formality of GAC advice. We've added the point that the Joint Working Group does not consider it worthwhile to pursue efforts to distinguish between informal and formal GAC advice. Okay. Also, some emphasis has been added, and I believe we agreed this the last time we met, that it is worth pointing out that, again, what the bylaws contain, and that is the fact that GAC advice goes solely to the board rather than to the other supporting organizations and advisory committees, and that it's useful to recall this if we're actually looking at ways to improve the policy development process across the organization. So a key point. Regarding GAC consensus, we are adding emphasis here that in practice the vast majority of GAC advice to the board has been consensus advice. It's really rare that the committee does not, and we're always striving for consensus. So this is an added clarification, I think, to that point. The next edit, the GAC's operating principles also note that if it is not possible to reach consensus, then a full range of views can be presented to the board. Okay, so again, emphasis on the fact that the GAC strives for consensus the majority of the time. However, we do have an option of representing a full range of views as per our operating principles. Continuing, so on page 4, under board process, when there is conflicting advice, a paragraph to help summarize. Finally, the Joint Working Group has taken note of the very positive results of the agreement reached by the board and the GAC during the December 2010 Cartagena meeting to hold focused face-to-face exchanges to review the outstanding GAC concerns regarding the introduction of new GTLDs. The GAC's decision to reflect these concerns in a scorecard facilitated the substantive and constructive meetings in Brussels and San Francisco in February and March 2011, respectively. The Joint Working Group supports this format as an effective means of engaging the GAC and the board more directly regarding public policy concerns related to DNS matters, as well as the related and critical issue of how GAC advice is considered by the board. So taking into account the additional experience we've gained since Cartagena regarding the new GTLD program, a new summarizing paragraph seems quite straightforward. And then in the recommendations, I guess clarification around the recommendations that we had previously identified in the report. So first recommendation that the board create a transparent register or consistent record. The development of the register should also identify consistent methods of notating written GAC advice. Second bullet, that the board develop a process for formally notifying the GAC of pending issues and policy development processes of potential interest to the GAC, which would be provided on a regular basis. A complementary element of this process would include more formal written requests for advice to the GAC, clearly identified as such. And the third recommendation, that the board and the GAC schedule more routine face-to-face exchanges on pending substantive matters that raise public policy issues to more effectively identify when and whether the GAC's views might lead to consensus advice that the board might ultimately disagree with. Such meetings should be scheduled with sufficient time during ICANN meetings and for at least an hour via conference call on an intersessional basis. That the board and GAC, next bullet, that the board and GAC finalize agreement on the ICANN staff drafted process for consultations between the ICANN Board of Directors and the GAC, including those required pursuant to the bylaws. And lastly, that the GAC amends its operating principles to include a description of the process it follows to develop consensus-based GAC advice, for example, by incorporating the UN definition of consensus into Principle 47. Okay, so a redraft to clarify and make the recommendations more focused based on the previous discussions we've had. So, Ray, did you have a comment?
Yeah, just one comment, Annette, regarding the paragraph on page 4 where begins with the sentence, finally, the JWG has taken note of the very positive results. Towards the end there, it says the board more directly regarding public policy concerns related to DNS matters. I think probably it would be better stated if the DNS matters was removed because there are other public policy concerns that the GAC would be providing advice on outside of DNS matters, IP addressing for one. So it might be better stated to keep that a little bit broader and be specifically focused on DNS.
Okay. Thank you, Ray. Netherlands, please.
Thank you. I have a remark on the last bullet. I think this example, it's all right to give some example. I would be a little bit cautious by, let's say, assuming that this example will be the one which is integrated. I think we are not the UN. We are a different body. We are a body within, let's say, within the ICANN framework, with its transparency and accountability expectations from us. So I think we should design our own consensus views and our procedure very well. And an example with the UN could be a good example, but I think we should really focus on developing something which we need for our GAC. Thank you.
So you're asking to remove the example in the bullet, or is this a comment so that we understand that it's...
It's a comment to be cautious that the UN consensus way of functioning is something which we can maybe lend, but I think we should adapt it to the way we are working in the GAC and within the ICANN framework. Thank you.
Okay, so we have been working on the basis in the GAC on the UN definition of consensus. So the point is that as we look at this further, we would need to adapt it to you know, how we need to work as a committee. Okay. All right, fair enough. Do we have an alternative suggestion regarding the quote related to DNS matters? This is fairly general, I think, from a GAC perspective. Unless we really run the risk of missing something, I would tend to leave it as drafted.
Well, my point is that DNS matters. That term, just DNS by itself, could be used to restrict consideration. Because if you read the front end of it, it says, Joint Working Group supports this format as effective means of engaging the GAC and the board more directly regarding public policy concerns related to DNS matters. In other words, it's saying that you wouldn't want to use this format for other public policy concerns related to other matters that the GAC may be providing advice on. That's the way that I would interpret that statement. So that... What I'm suggesting is striking the words related to DNS matters so that the Joint Working Group supports this format as an effective means of engaging the GAC and the board more directly regarding public policy concerns, which broadens the scope because now we can include things such as IP addressing and other matters which may be of concern that are outside of DNS.
Okay. Let's delete related to DNS matters and just leave it. I do not want to negotiate text in this session, so thank you for that caution and that clarification. Okay. Other comments on this section? United Kingdom, European Commission.
Thank you, Chair, and good morning, everybody. I just wanted to find out what, with regard to the penultimate bullet there, the ICANN staff drafted process for consultations. I think there's a quotation mark missing there, actually. Is it after consultation? I have to be reminded of what this document is and when is the process for finalising agreement of it. Can you remind me? I don't recall it, to be honest. Thanks.
This working group can decide to finalise the report. So, is that your question? No.
Sorry, no. Perhaps I wasn't clear enough. The penultimate bullet there refers to, I think, a document, process for consultations, that the board and the GAC finalised agreement on the ICANN staff drafted process for consultations. Is that a separate document, or am I confused?
Yes,
sorry.
Yes. This relates to the new DTLD program and other discussions we've had about how to consult with the board. And so they did provide us with a draft process, and we commented on it, but there isn't agreement between the GAC and the board on what that process should look like. So the proposal here is that maybe that's something we should still have as an item for the future to come to some sort of agreement on a process. And I see some heads nodding. So that is apparently still an important issue for the GAC to clarify. I have the European Commission next, if I may.
Yes, thank you, Chair, and good morning, everyone. Actually, I had the same question, but that's a very good explanation. I wonder if I could just suggest, though, we change finalised agreement to seek agreement. Maybe very pedantic, actually, but finalised may suggest that we should endorse some proposed agreements already there, and I think seek makes me feel more comfortable. On another point, in the First Amendment, actually, in this section, which I think is very good, actually. This is the one where we reference the fact that the bylaws don't require GAC advice to be consensual. I think that's a very significant change, and it's very welcome. However, I wonder if we're missing some additional information to complete the picture. And that is, I wonder here, whether we should also reference the bylaw section regarding the Government Advisory Committee, which says that the Government Advisory Committee may adopt its own charter and internal operating principles or procedures to guide its operations. Because I think then it explains more where we're coming from, actually, that we're required to give advice. It's not consensual advice. And then the next article in the bylaws says, but we will set our own operating principles. So my interpretation of that is that the GAC, the ICANN bylaws, currently require the GAC to decide how it will work. And I think that's to complete the picture for anyone reading this document. I think this would also be a very useful reference. So I think merely a citation of Article 11, Section 2, which reads, and I'll read it again if that would be helpful. It's the first amendment in the document, which where the text is added, place any limitation on what form such advice should take or require that it be consensual. I would suggest immediately after that the addition.
Oh, yes.
Yes, I think that's it. Yes, I would suggest immediately after that the simple addition of citation of the text. So we would say, in addition, Perhaps after the text in blue there, rather than at the end of the paragraph. In addition, the bylaws also provide that, and then inverted commas, the governmental advisory committee may adopt its own charter and internal operating principles or procedures to guide its operations. End of quote, full stop. Thank you.
Thank you, Bill. Ray, did you have a comment?
Yeah, it was just to support the comment that was being made earlier for when the clarification was sought by UK, is that I think it's very important for this point to be in here, because I think there needs to be emphasis placed from this working group saying that this other thing has got to be done.
Thank you. Ray? Okay, I see no further requests. So, great. Let's move to the next section, which is relating to GAC liaisons and the nominating committee. The first point concerns the GAC liaison to the ICANN board. And so we're on page 5, objective 2, ICANN board and nominating committee GAC liaisons. Okay, so I think we can actually move further through the text to page 6. And start with the first full paragraph. So the joint working group discussions over the course of several meetings in 2010 have revealed that many on the board and in the broader ICANN community appear to value having a government perspective on pending issues and seem comfortable with the idea that a representative from one government can provide such a perspective. Okay. So this representational function appears to differ from other SOs and ACs, whose members often participate in deliberations in their personal capacities. So again, further clarification as to the particular issues that GAC members see with this liaison role. In addition, it is vitally important for governments to have a clear and comprehensive understanding of ICANN's strategic thinking, focus areas, business planning, and key operational decisions. It is recommended, therefore, that a formal board liaison to the GAC be established, who would report to the GAC, both intersessionally and in person at GAC meetings, on major board discussions and decisions relating to these high-level matters. Okay, so a proposal to try having a liaison from the board to assist in providing information about ICANN's strategic direction. The joint working group believes this is important for two reasons: to ensure that GAC representatives are able to brief ministers and report to parliamentarians fully regarding ICANN's overall direction and priorities, and secondly, to enable national representatives to engage in multilateral discussions relating to internet governance effectively with a full brief on ICANN's evolving objectives and performance. An overarching or threshold issue is whether the scope and breadth of the GAC liaison function is overly burdensome for a single GAC representative, recognizing that the GAC liaison to the board has other responsibilities to his or her respective government. It is imperative that the board's views on the role and the function of the GAC liaison, in particular, whether the board considers the GAC liaison to be the primary mechanism by which the GAC is apprised of issues on which the board would welcome public policy advice from the GAC, be clarified. Okay, and then we have the standing recommendations in relation to that point, and then further development of recommendations 5, 6, and 7. So number 5, complement the GAC liaison to the board with a senior ICANN staff member assigned to coordinate with the GAC liaison to identify issues of mutual interest to the GAC and the board to ensure that all ICANN staff are more cognizant of GAC perspectives and concerns, as well as providing issue updates and alerts to the GAC regarding ICANN activities. And number 6, ensure that ICANN public policy staff interact more routinely with the GAC to broaden their understanding of GAC concerns regarding any pending policy development processes. And number 7, ensure that all briefing material prepared for the board clearly identify those issues of interest or relevance to the GAC and are circulated to the GAC prior to submission to the board to confirm that the material reflects the GAC's perspective.
Okay. So we have some clarifying revisions and recommendations in this section. Are there any comments or questions on that? Kateem, please.
Thanks, Heather. My suggestion is with regards the first paragraph on page 6, the last sentence there, that reads, this representational function appears to differ from other SOs and ACs, and then it continues. And I'm just wondering why the need for the word appears there. I mean, it's different, so why would you say so and cut to the chase?
I think it's likely intended to take into account that is our understanding, and that, you know, whether the SOs and ACs would agree is not necessarily clear to the author when drafting this. So, okay, thank you. Are there other comments on these recommendations? Ray?
Just a question of clarification on recommendation 7. Is this to be interpreted then that staff papers that identify issues of interest relevance to the GAC, first of all, someone's going to have to determine what that is. But the second thing is circulate the GAC prior to submission to board to confirm the material reflects GAC's perspective. Does this mean that the staff couldn't then submit those to the board until after the GAC has taken a review of these papers? Is how that's supposed to be interpreted?
Can you tell me where in the document
I'm
you
at
are?
Recommendation 7.
Okay.
Ensure that all briefing material prepared for the board clearly identify those issues of interest / relevance to the GAC and are circulated to the GAC prior to submission to the board to confirm that the material reflects the GAC's perspective. So is the intent there that the board would not receive a staff paper until the GAC had passed on it?
That's a good implementation question. I think the spirit of recommendation 7 is to find a way to put in place a process of some sort so that the board can be sensitized with the help of staff to be aware of what issues are significant to the GAC. And it may be that is happening already, but this is intended to flag it as being important and key for the GAC. European Commission, do you have a suggestion?
Yes, I'd just like to support your view, actually, that this is a useful addition. I understand the question from Ray, actually, and I think it's a very legitimate question about implementation. But I think here that the relevance of this one for me is that the bylaws actually require, and I'll read them again if you don't mind, the board shall notify the chair of the Government Advisory Committee in a timely manner of any proposal raising public policy issues. Now, that seems to require the board to be aware of issues, then they have a formal obligation under the bylaws. And I would have thought that the staff need to signal that quite explicitly in staff papers. And however, it would be very unfortunate, actually, if the staff views on what is currently of interest to the GAC or on where the GAC have already expressed a view was inaccurate in any way, the process of transmitting information. So I have to say I support the idea that some check would be made, that any views given to board members about GAC positions should be in some way checked, actually, with the GAC themselves for consistency.
Can I respond?
Please, wait.
I understand exactly what you're saying, and I agree that if the staff is going to advise the board that this is the GAC perspective on something, that should be vetted first, which is different than the way I'm interpreting what's being said here. And so discussions earlier in this section that relate to increased staff involvement and the policy development staff involvement with the GAC, I think, would help to do that. And certainly if I have no problems with the thought that if the staff is preparing a paper for the board and it says that the GAC perspective on this is, and basically it says that's what this perspective is, that they do then includes maybe some sentence that says how they confirmed that this is a perspective. I totally agree with that thought, because the staff can't speak for the GAC. However, for the staff to identify an issue as being relevant to the GAC is something entirely different, because without further guidance from the board as far as what to do or what the board perceives should be done with that, they can't act any further. So, and I could make the case that almost everything the board deals with is going to have some relevance to the GAC, because the GAC is an integral part of ICANN. So to the point that where the staff in a paper to the board is explicitly stating that this is the GAC perspective or the GAC position, I would support some kind of mechanism that would enable the vetting of that idea. And I think the other sections of this particular area that talk about staff involvement and so forth, and also the idea of the establishment of the liaison would be the facilitating ways of making sure that happens.
Thank you for that. Ray, can we resolve this by ending recommendation 7 with to the GAC and deleting the remainder of that sentence? Is it enough for us to say in this recommendation, ensure that all briefing material prepared for the board clearly identify those issues of interest relevance to the GAC? Yeah. United States?
Thank you, Heather, and thank you, Ray, for your comments as well. If I may say, I think I'm glad to see this version. I think we could probably live with your proposed edit. I think what we're motivated by, Ray and other colleagues on the Joint Working Group from the board, is actually at the present time we have no insight into any of the ICANN staff briefing papers on any issue, if we may say. So what I think this bullet is trying to sort of sensitize the group to is, you know, there may well be, it could be an inadvertent oversight that the staff actually is not aware that the GAC actually cares about X, Y, or Z. And in fact, it was the December 2010 Cartagena meeting where I believe the board seemed quite surprised that the GAC had outstanding concerns related to new GTLDs that went well beyond geographic names. So somehow, all we could surmise from that was that there was a disconnect somewhere. So what I think these recommendations are trying to do, and I think we're all pretty supportive of that, is to build bridges to avoid ever having that kind of disconnect again. So it's a way of sensitizing both the GAC and the board with the help of staff that these are the kinds of issues that governments care about, and perhaps they can even go so far as to say, and this is why they care about them. I don't know. I think Heather put it quite well when, you know, there are implementation issues, and we would benefit from some feedback on that. But if I just wanted to kind of emphasize that point, we don't want to repeat the situation we found ourselves in. Thanks.
Point of clarification, thank you very much, Suzanne, is that the meta issue of the provision of staff papers is a much broader issue than just providing them to the GAC, and the board has been actively engaged in finding ways of doing that, and so that is a thing that is in progress, and there have been improvements that have been made in that area, and that's going to continue to be an improvement. So that being said, I really think that the delivery of briefing papers to the GAC is going to be the same as it is to the rest of the community. Now, it certainly doesn't preclude the GAC when they see these briefing papers to, at that point in time, maybe ask for additional information or something like that as well. But the bottom line here is basically the early communication between the GAC and the board. And that's what we're really trying to do here. And that's this whole discussion of liaisons and staff supports and everything else. And so the proof is going to be in the pudding about how we implement this. And in regard to the edit suggested by my co-chair, I would agree with it.
Thank you for that, Ray. Okay, so let's move to the next section. I don't see anyone clamoring to comment further on this. So the next section deals with the GAC liaison to the nominating committee. And if we can go to page 8, we can focus on the edit made to recommendation 3, which is more substantial than in other places in this section. If the board decides not to amend the bylaws, clarify through a public statement that the so-called GAC liaison is understood to represent the individual views of that particular government and not the GAC as a whole, while also considering amending the current confidentiality procedures for the NOMCOM that inhibit discussions between the GAC liaison and the GAC membership. Alternatively, the board could clarify that due to the inability of a single GAC member to effectively represent the views of the GAC, there will be no GAC liaison to the NOMCOM. Okay, so that's recommendation 3. Bertrand, please.
Yeah, apologies, Heather. Just a verification on the correction that has been made on the previous point, on the point 7, because there's a part that has been taken away, and I don't know if it has been stopped where I understood you said the correction would be made. The last point, I mean, and sorry, I tried to. Yeah. I had understood that we were supposed to stop after the first to the GAC, because and our circulated to the GAC is related to what Ray was saying in terms of this is a broader issue.
Yes, thank you. Okay, so GAC liaison to the nominating committee. Further comments? Okay. All right, let's move to the next section then. In particular, this section does relate to ATRT recommendations 12 and 13. So we're on page 8, objective 3, GAC liaisons to the ICANN supporting organizations and advisory committees. So we've had a fair amount of discussion on this as well. But edits are taking into account some of the discussions we've had with SOs and ACs, as well as among ourselves. So an addition made near the bottom of the page to reflect discussions that we've had with the CCNSO, where we've arranged for two GAC liaisons to work with the CCNSO. But we also acknowledge here that there are no general GAC liaisons to the CCNSO, GNSO, and ASO, or the ALAC. And there are reasons why we got out of the habit of having liaisons, and so we spell them out here. However, this is something I think the GAC intends to revisit, and we are looking at ways to try to collaborate and prepare for meetings with other parts of the community. So if we move to page 9, a second paragraph from the bottom, the addition here that the Joint Working Group notes that the GAC GNSO exchange in San Francisco raised the concept of reverse liaisons such that the GNSO would identify representatives from each of its constituencies to serve as liaisons to the GAC. This has not yet been agreed or implemented. So it's just acknowledging that we are having these exchanges and looking at ways to work, to take into account working methods and constraints among the communities. And then the next paragraph, regarding the experience of GAC liaisons with the CCNSO. So the CCNSO's Delegation, Redelegation, Retirement Working Group and the recently created CCNSO Framework of Interpretation Working Group. We have to talk to the CCNSO, I think, about the length of their working group titles. But these are recent efforts with the CCNSO, so appropriate to acknowledge them here. And then the concluding point regarding the GAC's experience with the cross-SOAC working group on recommendation 6 of the new GTLD implementation was less positive. And then we describe some reasons for that, the abbreviated deadlines for the final work product, the frequency of interaction, which inhibited the ability of GAC members to develop fully cleared government positions on the draft text under consideration. So it's highlighting that there are some challenges and there are different practices in various communities. And so we are acknowledging it here in the report. And then a number of edits made and proposed for the recommendations as a result. So recommendation 1, the GAC and the board should develop, in consultation with the SOs and ACs, a common understanding regarding the scope and function of liaisons. Recommendation 2, consider experimenting with reverse liaisons based on the discussion we had with the GNSO. Recommendation 3, in the event that further discussions with ICANN suggest a shared understanding of the respective roles of all liaisons, the GAC and SOs and ACs should develop agreed procedures for communications between such liaisons and their respective SOs and ACs to ensure consistency in reporting and coordination. And recommendation 4, in the event that the GAC liaisons are agreed, the GAC will consider creating teams of GAC volunteers to serve as liaisons to all. And as I say, this is under discussion in the GAC, how we can make that happen. Recommendation 5, the board and ICANN management should review the roles of ICANN staff assigned to support the work of SOs and ACs to determine how their efforts could be expanded to include more routine information sharing or briefings for the GAC. Recommendation 7, encourage the ICANN board to review current policy development processes to determine whether they should be amended to introduce more flexibility. And the Joint Working Group considers the recently developed new GNSO policy development process a constructive starting point for this review. Okay, so that's taking into account current efforts in GNSO. Okay, so on this point, our interaction with the other parts of the community, I think this is fairly straightforward. Please, Bertrand.
Yeah, thank you, Heather. Just one comment regarding the paragraph related to the REC 6 working group. The wording is maybe a little bit strong regarding the fact that the experience is less positive, because if I understand correctly, one of the main challenges that you highlight is the short timeline, the intense period of interaction. And I wouldn't want that the exercise that was the REC 6, which actually produced a very good interaction in terms of substance, even if it didn't produce an outcome that was completely the one that we used later on in the early warning, maybe to transform the paragraph slightly to show that the constraints in terms of time and so on provided the difficulties that you highlight of validating the position of GAC members, but that the tone of the paragraph be less negative regarding the this exercise.
If I understand your comment, then it's because we've referred to this experiment as being less positive.
Yeah.
Can you adjust that wording?
Yes, that's basically the point. It highlighted particular difficulties in terms of timeline, for instance, because that's mainly the problem. In a nutshell, just to make a comment, in a nutshell, it shows that those interactions are new formats that are useful, but that require sufficient time for the GAC to participate in them. So if the formulation, I don't know what the best formulation would be, but...
Perhaps, as you say, instead of saying was less positive, you could say the new GTLD implementation highlighted particular difficulties due primarily to.
Okay. That's fine.
Yes. United Kingdom, please.
Thanks very much, Chair. As you said in your opening with regard to this section, Objective 3, and as noted here, there's a reference to ATRT recommendation number 12, which is that the board acting through the joint working group should develop and implement a process to engage the GAC earlier in the policy development process. I wonder if we might actually explicitly state that as one of the objectives of the liaisons. I don't really see it explained here that one of our key aims here is to secure that early involvement in policy development, unless I've missed it through as I've scanned the text. So I wonder if we might actually make an explicit reference to the importance of securing that early engagement in the policy development processes, maybe under the second indent under the joint working group shall examine the effectiveness of GAC interaction with other parts of the community, particularly related to ICANN's policy development processes, and ensuring that the engagement in those processes is at an early stage, something like that. Is it worth adding some text that makes it that objective explicitly clear for these liaisons? Thank you.
Thank you, UK. That, I think, could be an additional recommendation to the list where you would highlight exploring or considering a way in which the liaisons can support that goal of you know, earlier engagement in the policy development processes, something like that. Would that be a valuable addition to what we already have drafted? United States?
Thank you, Heather, and apologies if I'm not connecting dots properly. That's entirely possible. But I'm a little concerned, or maybe I'm confused, why do we put it that way, as to whether we are now reverting to or inadvertently creating problems and additional responsibilities for the liaisons that we, in the earlier section, are seeking to avoid. So I think, unless I'm misunderstanding, I think the issue is relying solely on GAC liaisons to other parts of the community we have determined is not very effective. It has not worked particularly well. So I think aren't we trying to address this larger issue of it's the way the processes are developed themselves? And it's how, since under the bylaws, the GAC advice goes straight up to the board, and we're very mindful that other parts of the community welcome GAC views, are interested in GAC views. This is not a criticism at all of other parts of the community. It's just the bylaws are not structured such that there's any obligation on anybody else's part to actually take GAC views into account. It doesn't mean they're not interested. I thought that's what we were trying to get at here, that we needed to perhaps revisit the policy processes themselves and try to figure out a more effective way or ways to integrate GAC perspectives earlier on in the processes. But apologies if I have confuse things. I was just concerned about the reference back to liaisons.
Bertrand, did you want to comment?
Yeah, actually it was to follow up briefly on what Susan was saying. I think there is a similarity between the situation that was described earlier of apparently the board having been surprised about some of the GAC comments that were not forwarded, as you mentioned, and the fact that even if the bylaws do not require the SOs to take into account the GAC perspective, there are probably many cases where there is a lack of awareness because of the circuit. If the GAC is producing something that goes to the board, at a moment when the process is actually in the SOs, what happens? Is the board that is sending it back to the SOs? There's a piece missing here, and I agree with you. Without belaboring on this, one of the purposes of the liaison or any kind of interaction or connection between the GAC and the SOs is to facilitate the circulation of this. It can be a very limited function or something that basically says this is what has been discussed. Here's the paper that was sent to the board, for instance, which doesn't mean that the GAC is sending something to the SOs, but that they are aware of it. So it was just an addition to what you were saying in terms of facilitating the circulation of information without making it too formal.
Thank you. Sweden?
Thank you very much, Heather. Maybe I'm also a little bit confused here, but I think I understand what you're saying, Susanna, and also you, Bertrand, because one of the things that I've been thinking of, actually, and I think I raised it maybe a couple of other times, is actually what is happening with all the advice that comes to the board. I mean, of course, we all of the advisory committees and supporting organizations provide some kind of input to the board. And if we're more aware of what the other groups are actually putting forward to the board, it would be easier for us to understand. And what is the most important thing, I really think, is the way, how is the board actually going to react and process all this advice, which in the end is going to be some kind of decision. And I don't know if that is something that fits into this document or this process, but I think the result of all the advice that comes from certain groups is actually very severe, I think, and that needs to be, well, described some way or the other. I don't know if this is the correct document, but I think that's important. Thank you.
Okay. Egypt, please.
Thank you. Just if you allow me to clarify the merits behind this recommendation within the ATRT, because there was a specific recommendation stating that board acting through the JWG should develop and implement a process to engage the GAC earlier in the policy development process. And this came from a discussion that the GAC advice comes very late within the process. And this, on one hand, any changes becomes not very well received by people who have been working through this process for a long time. And on the other hand, it also put some stress on the GAC regarding the timeline and not to be delaying a process that is being escalated and almost being finalized. So that's why it was recommended that the GAC gets involved early within the PDP process. I'm not sure I'm clear here where this would take place. It doesn't have to be through the liaisons, but I'm not sure how this is taken into consideration.
Thank you, Egypt. I have Rom. Did you want to respond to that particular point, though, UK? Or I thought you might be requesting to speak on that.
Thanks. I think we need to capture it somehow, but I know the discussion, and I mean, it's a very, for us, it's an important ATRT recommendation, early involvement, and I think, as I say, it's, we would like it to be captured explicitly somewhere. maybe I haven't found the right place, though. I grant. Thanks.
Okay. All right. Rom, please.
Thank you, Heather. To the earlier question about what the board does with advice from some of the other SOs and ACs, I thought my own experience as the SACs, the Security and Stability Advisory Committee's liaison to the board, might be instrumental. In the past, in its early years, the SAC created reports and advice for the community. Although SAC was chartered primarily as an advisory committee to the board, it became clear as time went on that the advice that SAC was creating was relevant to the community as a whole. However, one of the things that was not clear was how the board was actually using these reports and this advice that SAC was putting out. And this became a concern both inside of the SAC as well as from other community members who came in and asked a specific question of the SAC in its open sessions, where it asked, how do you know that your work is actually being looked at or is being acted upon? So in response to that, one of the useful mechanisms that has come forward in the last 2.5 years, and I have been fortunate to have helped implement it, is that reports that the SAC creates are sent to the board with preambles in an actual document, explicitly pointing out the issues or the issue that SAC is focused on, that report is focused on, number one. And number two, if there are recommendations inside of the SAC report, we in the SAC have changed how these recommendations are being written. We are now writing those recommendations with clarity about which groups it affects. So you will find, as if you look at the SAC reports over time, you will find earlier reports were more broad and generic in the recommendations, but more recent reports will say, for instance, this is advice for the GNSO, here is something that CCs might be interested in, et cetera. And that seems to have helped. So that's one thing that might be useful. The other really useful change, in my opinion, that has happened in the last 2.5 years that I've been on the board as the SAC liaison, has been that when there are issues that the SAC believes are of import for the community as a whole, and that SAC believes that I must work on, as a liaison, I have worked to convert those recommendations into board resolutions. And that has had some really interesting and very positive outcomes. In some cases, the mere attempt to convert a recommendation into a board resolution has automatically increased board's focus on the topic. Number two, in several cases, the attempt to convert into a resolution has resulted in this becoming a staff work item, which doesn't require a resolution at all. But in many cases, and this has been instructive for me, the resolution has become the accelerator, the catalyst, that has allowed staff to expend effort, energy, budget to actually act upon the recommendations that the SAC has made. And this has been really educational for me, because I had thought earlier, when I was not the liaison to the board, I had thought, hey, we're the SAC. This is a group of acknowledged experts in the area, and we're providing advice. It ought to just be automatically considered, and we're looking for evidence. But what's been instructive is, as in my role as liaison, to actually take that and shape it into an actionable item for the board in the form of a resolution. That seems to have helped staff take
the report and say, now we can do something with it, now we can allocate budget on it. So I hope that experience is helpful in what we're trying to accomplish here.
Thank you, Rom. I think that's very helpful to us. Certainly we want to provide advice so that it is an actionable item to the extent we're able to do that. Clearly that is beneficial for staff and board. So, Bertrand, yes.
Thank you, Heather. I would like to briefly address this notion of early involvement in the of the GAC in the processes. Yesterday there was a board GNSO interaction, and one of the items that was put on the agenda by the GNSO was the sort of new format of the cross-community working groups that have emerged almost spontaneously and, let's say, a little bit ad hoc. And there is a concern in the GNSO, as you probably have heard, regarding whether this new format is circumventing the normal PDP process. Is it something that is above, beside, below? Where does that take place? And just like there is an exercise between the board and the GAC on how to facilitate the interaction between the two bodies, there is going to be a necessary discussion at the broader level between the different ASOs and ACs on what is this new tool that has emerged. Should it be maintained? Should it be formalized? Should it be discarded? And the reason why I mention this is because in terms of the early engagement, as Suzanne was mentioning, the bylaws explain the role of the GAC as advisory to the board. However, the problem is, as I said, the circle, which is if the process is in the SOs, how does the advice trickle down somewhere or is communicated? And I was thinking that in a certain way, one of the functions of those cross-community groups could be in the future to take place at the very beginning of something that has to be addressed before a policy development process or when an issue is popping up. It can even be triggered by one SO or one AC to just basically say, at the next meeting, we want to address in a cross-community format this topic that is emerging, so that the input is not formalized by the actors, but the GAC, like the other advisory committees and the SOs of the constituencies, would have the possibility to explore together very early on the different dimensions of an issue, not the solutions, but the different dimensions of an issue, particularly to make sure that whenever an issue is raised, all the public policy dimensions are identified very early on. This is useful both for the GAC to continue working on them, because the GAC has a possibility then to identify them early on and then have the time to interact with the administrations and reflect on it. And second, these issues are integrated immediately in the debate by the SOs and the other processes so that they do not come later on as a sort of afterthought. So it's not the scope of the report here, but as we were addressing the question of getting earlier in the process, I think it's an interesting element to bring in the discussion on the cross-community working groups. And if things go well, one of the proposals that was made yesterday is to probably have an open discussion in Dakar, potentially, on this new format. And I hope that this will be an element where the GAC will be willing to interact.
Thank you, Bertrand. United Kingdom?
Thanks, yes. That's very helpful, Bertrand. Appreciate that exemplification of what we're talking about, really. Before coming to this meeting, I did a brief with my minister, who's taking a close interest in the implementation of the ATRT recommendations, and I set out for him, you know, what's going to be on the JWG agenda, and this, as I said earlier, is a key recommendation. I'm still unclear how I report back to him on how acting through this group, there is a process being developed and implemented to engage the GAC earlier. I guess that's my problem, really. If we're not in the report covering this explicitly, where is it being covered? Where is this recommendation actually being followed up? That's my. Maybe I'm missing something. I readily grant we've all had huge volumes of documents to look at and so on. So, but that's, as I say, is my problem. I'm not quite sure how, acting through the joint working group, a process is being developed and implemented to engage the GAC earlier in the policy development process, which is assigned to the joint working group, as I say. Thanks.
Thank you. Perhaps it's a matter of the joint working group concluding its work and actually looking at this at an organizational level, because the joint working group owns a piece of it, which is the GAC. But if we're talking about the process, that's out of our hands. If we're not in a position to be more explicit, to an extent that would satisfy your question, perhaps that's okay, and we could then make the point about needing to continue looking at ways to make it possible to consider GAC advice earlier on by looking at the organization as a whole. Okay, New Zealand, can you help?
thank you, Heather. I think actually you've come close to covering what I was going to suggest. I mean, it seems to me that it would be simple enough to add a recommendation that that work continue to explore how this can be done. I think that would be that would meet Mark's consideration and would reflect reality, I would suggest. What I was going to point out was that this will have substantial implications for the working methods of the GAC and the operation of the Secretariat and the interaction of the Secretariat with ICANN staff. And so it has wider implications. And I would suggest that the most appropriate point here, and I don't have text, and I'm not going to suggest any at this point, is to add a recommendation that work continue on this and that it be taken up by the GAC in the consideration of its own working methods as a way of moving this matter forward. Thank you.
Thank you, New Zealand, United States.
Thank you, Heather, and thank you, Frank. I think that's a really good point. I agree with Mark. We need to, it would be really, perhaps we need to tighten up the recommendation so that there is maybe a timeline. And I noticed that we currently have it drafted as we're point number 7, I believe, encouraging the ICANN board to review current policy development processes, blah, 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 to determine whether they should be amended. Maybe what we need to do is to include ourselves in that review so that there is a specific activity that the GAC and the board agree to undertake together to best figure out how to incorporate this particular ATRT recommendation, because it is really pretty fundamental. And so maybe we were, I think you made the point quite capably, Heather, this is not necessarily within our remit, this particular group, but I think if we flag that this is such a high priority, it must be initiated now, and we would do it jointly. Thank you.
Thank you, U.S. Denmark, please.
Thank you. Well, I would just like to agree with my colleagues and the urgency of implementing this recommendation too. So we start. Thank you.
Thank you, Denmark. A useful reminder that that we do want a decision and action to be taken as soon as possible. Okay. What I propose now is that... Bertrand...
Sorry to take the mic again. Thank you. One element I want to throw in this discussion regarding the evolution of the policy development processes is that you're probably aware that there has been a very lengthy process that has been going on in the GNSO under an unpronounceable acronym of PPSC-PDP working group that I took part in, and this shows that it has been lasting for quite some time because I was in the GAC at the time. And so this is a process that is more or less finishing now, and one of the purposes of this whole process is to refine the working group methodology within the GNSO. And the reason why I mention this is because there is a real difficulty here, because this discussion, which was within the GNSO plus a few other actors around, has taken more than a year and a half and is not absolutely complete now. And the challenge we have is that the ATRT recommendations regarding revision of the policy making processes is actually asking all of us to make progress relatively rapidly. And I hear the word urgency. I mean, it's a pressing issue. It's something that really we all want to improve. And I think the board has really a desire to implement the ATRT recommendation. The GAC wants it, and it is a matter of efficiency for the whole organization. The question is, what is the format to deal with that? Because if it is APDP within the GNSO, well, actually, it has already taken place, and it took a year and a half. So one of the challenges we're facing is actually how do we bootstrap the methodology to improve the way to work together, our way of working together, when we address the very topic, which means that, in particular, the question of how do we get all actors, including the GAC and the ALAC and the SOs and constituencies, into a discussion on how should those discussions be held, is a very delicate problem because we don't have the format. That's what we're discussing. So I just wanted to highlight this because there has been a process, there's still a process, and it needs to be respected as well. And there is a need for close interaction among the different constituencies and groups to understand how we can move forward, because the recommendations of the ATRT are fully endorsed by the board in that respect. But I think everybody's struggling on how to actually design those new methods, just to share the challenge.
Thank you for that, Bertrand. Okay, so we will take a short break. And when we come back, we'll have a refined possible recommendation 7 on this to take into account the points most recently made. And then we will go through objective 4, 5, and 6. And then we can conclude our meeting this morning. Okay, so I will say 15 minutes, and hopefully we can get back to work not long after that. Okay, thank you.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, channel 1's okay. Here myself.